It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Acts of violence against Jewish people are on the rise across the country. We learn ways to counter anti-Semitism here in Wisconsin and challenge hateful belief systems that are harming the Jewish community. Call in with your perspective, your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rabbi Dina Feingold has served as rabbi at Beth Hillel Temple in Kenosha since 1985. She's president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity. That's a coalition of 17 religious congregations in the Kenosha area. Rabbi Feingold, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. What is causing more anti-Semitism as you see it in the community?
Well, I think it's a nationwide and even worldwide phenomenon that anti-Semitism is on the uptick. I'm not certain that Kenosha is a particular hotbed of anti-Semitism, but we did have an incident last year, a series of incidents that, as far as we know, were caused by one person that were very concerning for the Jewish community. You ask about the cause. I think that over the last 8 years or so, 9 years or so, since the election of Donald Trump to the presidency, who enabled and emboldened people with very extreme views to speak out without any criticism from him, I think that has caused an uptick in anti-Semitism and maybe people who already held these views, but they feel that there is now not the limits on them that there were before to share these views on social media. I think social media is a huge piece of the spreading of these kinds of ideas, but also to just, you know, more publicly and blatantly share very extreme views of hatred toward Jews and other groups as well.
Oh, that's interesting, because what I'm hearing from you begs the question, is it, do you think that more people now hold anti-Semitic views, or that people with anti-Semitic views now feel freer to express them?
I think it's both. I think people who had them already are freer to express them. And also they have a platform on social media that just causes these ideas to spread, and without, you know, people in their own silos on social media, without something to counter it, I think more people are beginning to put credence in such ideas.
Are there better reporting systems in place to be able to track these incidents more often than in the past?
Well, yes, I think certainly in the Jewish community, our security procedures have been enhanced quite a bit. And I know that, you know, there are people in systems in government as well that are trying to improve the possibility for reporting and, you know, so that these things can be known in the community. Certainly the Anti-Defamation League and Milwaukee's Jewish Community Relations Council are two places that we rely on when such things happen, to always report such incidents. Even if we're not sure that they're anti-Semitism, we report things that happen, and these things are kept track of and counted and shared on an annual basis. That's how we get the statistics of how, you know, whether there's been a rise in anti-Semitism and by how much since the previous year.
Do congregants express to you publicly or in private that they feel less safe at Jewish observances or events?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I would say it's the concern has been rising since the terrible Tree of Life synagogue killings massacre in, I believe that was 2018 or 2017 in Pittsburgh. I think that scared a lot of people and, you know, caused them to think twice about having an open door policy during services. And then there have been other incidents, several of them since then, the most recent of which, of course, there was one in Jerusalem just the other day, but in the United States, the most recent of which was the hostage-taking situation in Colleyville, Texas, just about a year ago. And I think gradually people are more and more concerned about coming to the synagogue. I hear people, I've had people tell me they didn't want to come to a concert that we held and opened to the public this past December because of those fears, even though we had private security on site and lots of security processes in place. I've had people tell me that at our outside services in the summer, we have services in a fenced-in backyard, that they're always looking, you know, looking over their shoulder to make sure they know everyone who's there. Just in general, when they're out in our parking lot, they feel like they're looking around to see if they're safe. And this is something that's fairly new over the past several years.
Talking about the rise in anti-Semitism with Rabbi Dina Feingold of Beth Hillel Temple in Kenosha. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Rabbi Feingold, how can your fellow faith leaders help reduce intolerance in a community? What would you suggest?
Well, this is something that our Congregations United to Serve Humanity, faith-based community organizing group has been really focused on. We have a religious leaders caucus, and as these the distribution of flyers, which we haven't really talked about yet in this interview, but we had anti-Semitic flyers distributed in Kenosha for about 7 months running in various neighborhoods. When this started to happen in Kenosha, people were very upset and concerned, and they wanted to be able to do something about it. They wanted it to stop, and they wanted to know how they could help. And so this was something that was discussed among our religious leaders. How can we help? How can we help our congregations to know what to do, our community members, our neighbors? How can we be a force for good in the community? What we came up with as a religious leaders caucus, well, there were a number of things. First, we held a kind of a solidarity and event and what we called a cleansing ritual that started out at our synagogue after a Shabbat morning service. Those who were inside praying came outside, and the interfaith community was there to support us and to cry what was happening in various neighborhoods. And then we walked to one of the neighborhoods where the distribution of this anti-Semitic literature had happened, and we did something that we called a cleansing ritual, where we poured lemon water on the spot and said some prayers to cleanse the area of the hate speech and replace it with support and solidarity and prayer for toleration and for tolerance and concern for one another and inclusiveness and diversity. But ultimately, we came to having what we called a rapid response team, where when these flyers were distributed, we gathered some people together who were willing to be part of this to go to that site and pick up the flyers and also provide people with a different flyer that said how they could report anti-Semitic incidents on one side, and on the other side, it had a Star of David and as part of a sign to put in a window of a home that said, "We support our Jewish community. We reject the messages of hate in these flyers."
You call the distribution of these flyers a teachable moment and an opportunity for the community to show solidarity. Do you feel that has happened?
Definitely, yes. I think the community, and not just Congregations United to Serve Humanity, but many other groups in the community really came together to educate themselves. We had a couple of public forums where representatives from the ADL and the Milwaukee Jewish Community Relations Council did some teaching on anti-Semitism and the Great Replacement narrative. We had tremendous support from another group in Kenosha called the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. We worked together hand in hand with the police to understand the best way to report these incidents and work with them to provide the flyers to them. We also had support from our state legislators, who invited Attorney General Call to Kenosha to talk about what could be done at state level and some proposals they have for reporting hate incidents. So it was really a community effort, a community-wide effort that reached into many corners of our community. We also had, I failed to mention, a statement from the mayor's office supporting the Jewish community. So it was discussed at a city council meeting, and a statement was the result.
Kenosha Rabbi Dina Feingold, president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity, a coalition of 17 religious congregations in the Kenosha area, as we examine how Wisconsin responds to the rise of hateful rhetoric against the Jewish community and work underway to counter it. Join in your questions, your observations, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On the heels of International Holocaust Remembrance Day, we discuss ways to stop hate incidents and anti-Semitic rhetoric in Wisconsin. Call in with your questions. Share how you address anti-Semitic rhetoric when you encounter it. Efforts underway in your community to counter hate incidents. 800-642-1234. Rabbi Dina Feingold has led Beth Hillel Temple in Kenosha for nearly four decades. It's an inclusive congregation and member of the Union for Reform Judaism. Rabbi Feingold, starting last year, all Wisconsin schools are now required to teach students about the Holocaust and other genocides at higher grade levels. How might this curriculum foster less anti-Semitism?
Well, I think that's a really wonderful new development in the state of Wisconsin, that we have this requirement to teach about the Holocaust. I think there are people, maybe a lot of young people, who do not know about the atrocities of the Holocaust. And without this curriculum, without this curriculum being required, they might never have the opportunity to learn. And I do think that some anti-Semitism comes from ignorance. And so whatever we can do to educate young people is extremely important. Most people can make the connection between atrocities that happen elsewhere to one community. Something similar can happen in another place to another minority group if we don't learn the lessons of history.
Do you think there is a link between knowledge of the Holocaust and anti-Semitic views?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you saying when people learn about the Holocaust, they become anti-Semitic?
Is there a link between understanding and knowing the atrocities of the Holocaust and not being anti-Semitic? Or do you see any connection between those two?
Yes, I think that when people learn about what hate speech and hate and stereotypes can lead to ultimately, that they understand that speech is not harmless, and that there's a progression from hate speech to hateful acts and ultimately to genocide.
Friday marked International Holocaust Remembrance Day. How do you reflect on the Holocaust? What was Friday like?
You know, in the Jewish community, we have Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Commemoration Day. Mm-hmm. And that's really the day that we focus in our community on the Holocaust. It is in spring. It's in April. So we don't do anything to mark interfaith or International Holocaust Commemoration Day in our community. I did see that there were certain special things in the radio and on television, but so for me, it was coming across those things and paying attention to them in the moment.
Do you have any suggestions for how Holocaust education or the teaching of the Holocaust could be improved?
I just think more of it and making sure that at each grade level it's done appropriately. There are opportunities I don't know about in the Madison area, but certainly in the Milwaukee area, there's the Holocaust Education Resource Center, where they bring in teachers from public schools to learn in their programs, and they have special summer sessions for them to learn about how to teach the Holocaust better. I think those are wonderful opportunities that teachers should look into if they are not aware of them. And in addition to that, just very close to us in Skokie, Illinois, there is really a fantastic Holocaust museum that we take our seventh graders from our religious school to every year. And I know that public schools in this part of the state and in northern Illinois definitely take their students there. And that's something that if more people are not aware of this museum, you don't have to go to Washington, D.C., to the National Holocaust Museum to see a really excellent museum that teaches about the Holocaust.
Oh, thank you for that. We have Rabbi Dina Feingold with us of Beth Hillel Temple in Kenosha as we talk about anti-Semitism, the work of community coalitions on this issue. You can join in on what's happening in your community, 800-642-1234. Rabbi Feingold, circling back to the person responsible for distributing the anti-Semitic flyers in Kenosha, cited for littering, fined more than $4,300. Do you feel that those penalties are appropriate?
Yes, we're very pleased with the actions of the Kenosha Police Department. They made it a priority to find this person and arrest him and serve him with these fines. You know, hate speech is not a crime. It is, you know, it's not a hate crime. It's protected speech in the First Amendment. So the most we were hoping for was that he would be fined for littering. And we had so many examples of this literature that he distributed, not only in neighborhoods, but also in schoolyards, unfortunately, that he received quite a significant fine. And we have not seen any of that literature since he was arrested in late July. And that's really what we wanted to happen, was for this activity to stop.
I want to ask you about the impact of anti-Zionism and criticisms of Israel, the Israel-Palestine conflict, you know, not allowing Palestinians the right to return to Israel. How does what's happening in the Middle East contribute to prejudice against the Jewish community here in the States or here in Wisconsin?
Well, I know it's a big issue on campuses. I haven't seen anything exactly like that in our community in Kenosha, but I know on college campuses, this is a big issue. It's a free speech issue. There's a conflating of Israel and Judaism. Like, if you're opposed to the policies of the Israeli government, then you also don't like Jews. It's really a very complicated issue and a problematic issue. Personally, I'm very much of a Zionist in terms of this sense that I support the Jewish state. I do not support its current government or many of its policies over recent years. And I'm for a two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli situation. But I do there, I think there's much that is positive about the state of Israel. And I think we have to separate the idea that Israel is, you know, or Israel is bad, or versus its government. And I think that's something that all of us in the United States can relate to. We love our country, but we don't always love people in charge on the government level. And we have to keep those things, those separations in mind.
One last moment, because we're in our final seconds. What can people do today, right now, to counter hate in their own lives?
I just think it's important to educate yourself about diversity, be inclusive, understand that our country is made up of all different kinds of people who all deserve to be here. and that their way of life and their communities should be protected and cherished as equal parts of the United States of America. And the more we can share that message, the more we can fight against hate that is in many groups come under the umbrella of hate, and we can work against it.
Rabbi Feingold, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Rabbi Dina Feingold serves at Beth Hillel Temple in Kenosha, president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The percentage of Americans who believe in a number of anti-Jewish tropes has spiked in the past 3 years. That's according to results of a survey released this month by the Anti-Defamation League. Call in with your questions, your thoughts as we explore the rise of anti-Semitism and hate. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Trent Spoolstra is Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League Midwest office in Chicago. Trent, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. The League now estimates 20% of Americans believe at least six negative stereotypes of Jewish people. That's nearly double the rate from 4 years ago. Why are these beliefs spreading?
Absolutely. And I know you had Rabbi Feingold on before me, and I think she hit the nail on the head in terms of trying to understand what's going on here. And I think there are about three or four different factors happening nationwide. Number one, we do know that over the last 6-7 years, the political rhetoric as well as political actions have gotten more extreme on both the far right and I would argue also on the far left. I think also, too, we've gone through economic hardship. We have gone through, obviously, COVID, which was the worst pandemic in over 100 years. We're experiencing inflation right now. So the social and political environment is very fraught. On top of that, we have social media, where there are individuals who, you know, 20 years ago, this type of technology didn't exist. And now you have celebrities and you have individuals who can post almost anything they want to on social media, and they're followed by millions of people. And I think finally, it's also a sense of people not understanding about Jewish people. And maybe there are changes that need to be made in education, as well as spreading awareness that these things are taking place. So it's hard to say that there's one simple answer, but I think there's a lot going on in society right now to show why anti-Semitic prejudice is on the rise.
You're talking about a complex set of variables here. I'm wondering a little bit more on your survey and how you get the pulse on anti-Semitism in America.
Absolutely. So this survey was conducted in September and October of last year. It was done in partnership with the National Opinion Research Center, NORAC, here at the University of Chicago. This is one of the most prestigious social research institutes in the country. And we surveyed 4,000 individuals. Now, I am not a statistics expert, but most statisticians would tell you 4,000 individuals is a pretty sizable poll of people to take. And these were people that we polled all across the United States, all various walks of life, different races, ethnicities, socioeconomic backgrounds. And this was also a survey that was done online and was done anonymously, because we wanted people to answer truthfully, and we wanted people to really to get a grasp of what people are really thinking when it comes to Jewish people.
Is a robust survey like that common for the League to put out, or was there extra effort to get a wider response last year?
So I would think this was a little bit of both. Okay. So we've done this survey every 3 to 4 years going back to 1964. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the bigger surveys, one of the bigger reports that ADL, our organization, will put out. At the same time, because we had a feeling, we had inklings that anti-Semitism was on the rise in the United States,
we wanted to pull more Americans. We wanted to cross the T's, dot the I's, so to speak, so that when we published this report, knowing how shocking the news was, we had the background information to prove that this was a really sturdy as well as a really academic survey.
Is anti-Semitism, Trent, different from other forms of hate belief systems?
I would say there are a lot of similarities. And of course, here at the ADL, we are truly an anti-hate organization. Mm-hmm. So, of course, being Jewish founded, anti-Semitism is a big part of what we track. But it's not a coincidence that we are seeing hate crimes take place across a wide variety of groups. It's not just Jews. It's people of color. It's people of various sexual orientations. It's immigrants. Right. So what we are noticing is that we actually have a phrase here at ADL that Jews are the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, when hate is on the rise. And oftentimes Jews are one of the first, if not the first, marginalized group that will be targeted and then followed after other marginalized groups in society. So we're actually seeing a rise in hate crimes across a wide variety of areas in society.
You also mentioned anti-Semitism coming from the far right and the far left. Can you go further into what you see there?
Absolutely. So on the far right, and I think Rabbi Feingold had pointed this out in her segment, that with the rise of President Trump, there were a number of individuals on the far right who felt emboldened and they felt empowered to come out and to say and act on their racist and anti-Semitic beliefs. Right. So there are a number of groups on the far right who we've seen hate crimes increase from those groups. At the same time, on the far left, specifically within anti-Israel circles on the far left and in certain progressive groups, their tactics, I would argue, have gotten stronger and have gotten more extreme. That it's not just protests on college campuses anymore, but certain groups have been targeted. Certain individuals on streets have been harassed, right? So it's one of those instances where the political climate has gotten so hot in the United States that you're seeing actions happen, in fact, on both sides on the extreme political spectrums.
When do criticisms of Israel cross the line? When are they considered forms of anti-Semitism?
Sure. So I will say there's a wide variety of opinion within the Jewish community when it comes to criticism of Israel, right? And I would want to mention, especially to your viewers, criticizing Israel is not in and itself anti-Semitic. But here at ADL, there are a couple, I'd say two or three rules that we follow of when we think criticism of Israel goes from legitimate to anti-Semitic. Number one would be arguing that the state of Israel shouldn't exist or that Jews do not have a special relationship with the historic homeland of Israel. Number two, I think it's also a form, if you will, of collective guilt, where actually a couple of years ago, the last time Israel and Hamas were in major conflict with one another, battles were taking place. Jews here in the United States were being targeted. Synagogues were being targeted. Jewish organizations on college campuses were being targeted. We believe that's a form of anti-Semitism. And then finally, I think number three, when certain, we know political cartoons are very prominent in society, but when certain anti-Semitic caricatures are being used to criticize Jewish officials, such as, you know, the big hooked nose or looking demonic, we would argue that starts going into that realm of anti-Semitism as well, too.
Talking with Trent Spoolstra, leader at the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest office, as we look at the roots of anti-Semitism and how it is seen here in Wisconsin, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Trent, looking more closely here at Wisconsin, what suggests anti-Semitism is becoming more of an issue in our state, you know, versus what you see in other states?
Absolutely. So I think Rabbi Feingold had pointed out in Kenosha, and there are other parts of the state as well, too, this is actually a national phenomenon taking place where anti-Semitic flyering is being targeted specifically in Jewish communities and Jewish neighborhoods. That was something that has happened actually here in the Chicagoland area. It's happened in Wisconsin. It's happened actually across the nation. So it's a phenomenon that is not immune to just Wisconsin. That's an example, I think, on the far right. A lot of these groups on the far right were doing a lot of this flyering. an example I would argue on the far left was actually back in September, the start of school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, there was an incident of chalking where there were anti-Israel groups that on sidewalks on campus were making anti-Israel statements. That in itself was not problematic. Problematic part was they were calling out certain Jewish groups on campus. So it's not enough for these groups to just criticize Israel. Now they're going to call out Jewish students and Jewish groups on campus. And oftentimes Jews, it's taken to an extreme of Jewish students who go to these organizations on campus are harassed. The buildings on these campuses are vandalized, right? These are examples of more extremist tactics that are being used by individuals that we think are on the far left.
How does the Anti-Defamation League respond when these instances arise? What is your response?
Yes, I think it goes back to the old saying that there are strength in numbers. And so oftentimes, whether it happens in a community, for instance, our organization worked with Rabbi Feingold, we worked with Milwaukee JCRC and other Jewish organizations to call out when anti-Semitic flyering was taking place. At the same time, when things like the chalking incident happened at University of Wisconsin-Madison, when they happen at or on college campuses, we are going to work with Jewish organizations on those campuses to say, how can we help and how can we support? So it's a lot of coalition building. It's a lot of speaking out. It's a lot of raising awareness outside of the specific area that anti-Semitic incident took place.
Trent Spoolstra is Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Office. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about anti-Semitism in Wisconsin, your community, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Trent Spoolstra, Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League Midwest. That's the watchdog group that has tracked and audited anti-Semitic harassment, vandalism, and assault nationwide for over four decades. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Trent, we heard from David in Madison called in, and David says Holocaust survivors were brought into schools and shared their personal stories when David was in school. And David points out that there is a finite amount of time left for the generation that was alive and witnessed the Holocaust to share their stories. What is being done to boost this type of education of the Holocaust and to address harmful stereotypes through education?
Yeah, excellent question. I think he hit the nail around the head, which, of course, we are now 75 years, actually more than 75 years removed from the end of World War II and the Holocaust, and the number of Holocaust survivors is dwindling. And so as a result of that, there are a number of institutions, so here at ADL and other Jewish organizations, that are taking a wide variety of approaches to try to overcome not having those eyewitness accounts. I think number one is a lot of times you will start seeing the children or even the grandchildren of Holocaust survivors sharing their stories of their parents or their grandparents. I think another instance is, I think it's the Holocaust Museum here in Chicago, and I think other Holocaust museums around the country are using technology like holograms. So individuals can actually speak with, obviously not the survivor, but the hologram, the caricature of that individual to hear their stories, almost like that person was there. And then I think finally, another instance that we're doing is here at ADL, we have a program called Echoes and Reflections, which will educate and provide training materials and educational materials to teachers to teach on the Holocaust. One of the things that we're seeing is that there are a lot of teachers nationwide who are barely talking about the Holocaust or not discussing it, which I can understand is a very hard issue. And so we will train teachers and we will provide materials for them, make sure that next generation learns about the horrors that happened during World War II.
Why do you think that there is less of an effort to talk about genocide, to talk about the Holocaust? Why is it avoided?
I think there are various reasons, and I'm actually a former teacher myself, so I know part of it is that teachers, I will say, are under tremendous stress, and the demands put on them are quite heavy. I think part of it is that for some teachers, that if it is not in the state standards that we know about, the old phrase, right, teaching to the test, right, standardized testing, things of that nature. If questions about the Holocaust are not on that test, then I think there are a number of teachers that may not talk about it because they don't have the time or they don't have the bandwidth to talk about it. I think also, too, I think a second issue is that there are still a number of states across the country that do not mandate Holocaust education. So that's problematic. And I think number three, even in states that do mandate it, I can understand that for a number of teachers, the Holocaust is an incredibly hard conversation to have with students. And it's tough and it's emotionally draining. And so I think there are a number of reasons for that happening. But like I said, here at ADL and other Jewish organizations, we want to help teachers educate about it because we know the importance of educating about that event.
Turning away from schools for a moment to look more at partnering with law enforcement, your organization tracks political extremist groups. Is this work helpful to authorities who investigate hate crimes?
Absolutely it is. And in fact, at ADL, we have trained over probably actually since right before the beginning of World War II, so going back 70, 80 years, we have trained literally tens of thousands of law enforcement officials at the local, state, and national level on things such as extremism and understanding hate crimes, managing implicit bias, things of that nature. And I'll give you an example of what that partnership looks like. So a little over a year ago, there was the Colleyville, Texas synagogue hostage situation that took place. Immediately when that situation took place, there were Texas law enforcement officials, there were FBI officials that were called. And oftentimes law enforcement will call ADL because of those relationships. And they know that our research is really second to none when it comes to hate groups and it comes to extremists.
Is it helpful, though, to law enforcement in informing them how to handle these incidents, especially as they come up more frequently, and where to put those resources for investigation?
Absolutely. And I think that's where the partnerships come in handy, but I think also to continuing with that education to train new law enforcement officials or to retrain law enforcement officials who have been on the beat for a number of years. But I think it's understanding religious significances of the Jewish people. I think cultural relationships, I think, are very key as well, too. So there are a number of things that go into that relationship to make sure that law enforcement officials at least have a basic understanding of why this is so problematic for the Jewish people. And when these instances pop up, that they know they have a resource to reach out to gain more information.
Trent Spoolstra with us, leader of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest office. Let's take a call now. Kathy in Price County. Kathy, hi. What's coming up?
I am elderly, very elderly. And so I remember years ago when I had attended a farm conference when I think it was in the 80s when farmers were going through a really, really tough time. And we had a speaker at a conference who represented the Anti-Defamation League talking about not blaming Jewish bankers for the situation because I think there was a backlash then of anti-Semitism. And then when I was teaching, I think it was the Anti-Defamation League again that published a little comic strip called We Pals. It featured a little African-American boy, a Caucasian boy, a little Jewish girl or something, and they would talk about some of the issues in their holidays and different things like that, and the kids could really relate to that. And then later on, when I was a newspaper reporter, I covered a couple of school assemblies where they had a Holocaust survivor speak. I think the kids were really, really educated and, you know, kind of it was eye-opening to them that something like this had actually gone on in the United States, or, you know, that people had experienced this.
Kathy, right. Thank you so much for bringing up those historical memories in your life of perhaps the Anti-Defamation League in action. Trent, what are you thinking?
That continue to give me motivation to do the work that I'm doing. And unfortunately, I know you mentioned that these were instances in the 1980s. It's an example that anti-Semitism is a form of hatred that is really hard to combat. The fact that we are still combating it and trying to address it 40 years later. And I think it goes to show that we have a number of educational programs here at ADL to combat not just anti-Semitism, but hate in general, so that the next generation of students will be more tolerant. They will be understand and really appreciate diversity. So I think it goes to show that these programs, they're long lasting, and unfortunately, there's still a need for them.
Let's go to Tom in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks, David. I want to get back maybe to your survey. Did you find any relationship to other religious groups or certain ideology or even geographic trends?
Yeah, so actually, so this report that we published, it was published 2.5 weeks ago. It was actually the first of many reports and surveys that ADL plans to publish this year. So we wanted to publish the overview first, but later this year, we're actually going to go into understanding views of anti-Semitism or anti-Israel bias within political affiliation, within racial groups, within socioeconomic groups as well too. So this was actually the first mainline report that we will publish. But part of this is that we wanted to give a baseline to the American public about what's going on with anti-Semitism in general. Later this year, we're going to publish later surveys on looking at what individuals in specific racial groups or ethnic groups, political affiliations feel about anti-Semitism. So more to report on the way.
Trent, we only have a few moments left. What could help reduce people's beliefs in negative stereotypes? What can they do today in their lives?
Yeah, I think a number of things. I think one is educating yourselves about Judaism and about Jewish people. Oftentimes, we as human beings believe stereotypes because we don't know enough about people who are different from us. So I think educating, and I think the big part to understand is that really the Jewish people, we are a very diverse people we come from various races, various ethnicities, political views. You know, like I mentioned earlier, that number of Jewish individuals, we have a wide variety of opinions regarding Israel. Mm-hmm. But I think one is it's understanding ourselves, and I think also challenging maybe some stereotypes that individuals have of people who are different from us. I think if every American did that, I think we would see a lot less prejudice in our society. I think we'd see a lot, of course, when prejudice manifests hatred. Yeah. So I think the big thing is educating ourselves. And when you see anti-Semitism, be an ally.
Speak
and call
out.
It out.
Trent, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Trent Spoolstra, Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Office. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.